You've tuned in to the 4567 Lunchbox Messages, a podcast for the on-the-go season singles, hosted by CT. It's your girl CT. Thank you for coming back to yet another episode of 4567 Lunchbox Messages. It's your girl CT. As always, I am honored and blessed to be here with you today to in my kind of memory lane of my singleness by stating that I woke up and I was 15. It is not going to be a long, drawn out kind of event talking about my 50s, because again, I'm parked here for a while, so I'm gonna be 50 for a while, and I'm gonna learn, and I'm gonna grow, and I'm gonna make some mistakes. I'm gonna fall down, I'm gonna fail in some areas, and I'm gonna get back up, and I'm gonna try it again and again and again. But one thing I've learned, just a few points about being 50 and loving it. The first thing I learned is to love it. There are kids, there are adults that are dying at 35 and 40 and never did get to see, you know, their 50s. And the fact that God has blessed me to not only see 50, but to be in good health, I feel honored. And I didn't always feel that way. I feel blessed and just overjoyed, and it took me a while to get there, because when you get to a certain age, a certain level, and you expected certain things to have happened by that time, that begins to weigh heavy on you. So when I first woke up and I realized I'm at that age that I said I will not wake up and be single at, and that was the age 50, that was like a threat to God. Like, I will not wake up and be 50 at single, I mean, and be single at 50. I don't care if I have to marry an inmate. And actually, you know, it was a threat. You know, I'm like, I will not. I don't care if I have to go overseas or order me a broom offline. I mean, I don't care what I'll have to do. I will not wake up and be 50 and single. And I did. And so God had to walk me through that. A, he doesn't take kindly to threats. And B, even though we don't know it, he always have our best interest at heart. You have absolutely got to get the book, How to Resurrect a Dying Church. Are you a pastor that's struggling with membership? Are you a church leader who desires to see your church grow as well as invigorate the members that are already there? If so, you've got to get the book, How to Resurrect a Dying Church, out now on Amazon and all social media platforms. Or you can check out my website at 4567lunchbox.com, where you can find all of our merchandise that includes t-shirts, candles, and coffee cups. Hope to see you there. Bye. Yeah, so the second thing I want to tell you about what I've learned about being 50 is that God is not looking for necessarily singles. He's looking for people to be single-minded. There's a lot when you think about being a single and being single-minded. I was single for many years. I've only been single-minded for about 2 years. So there's a real big difference between the two. And just because you're single don't mean you're saved and sold out. So I had to God had to walk me through what it is to be single, saved, sold out, and single-minded. And then God had to really marinate in my spirit, why did Paul say it is better to be single than to be married? What was he trying to get across? The urgency of what we're dealing with, God is requiring. And this is something I want to bless people with. You're living longer. That is a fact. That is a biological fact that we are, as people, living longer than we did in the 30s and the 40s and, you know, in the 50s. We're living longer. In that we're living longer, sin has increased. So God is requiring people to stay single and single-minded because we are combating adding so much more. And if you really look at the things that you went through in your life as a teenager, if you're 50, you do understand that as a teenager, you didn't have to deal with certain things. There weren't mandates in school that made you say and do certain things that's there in place now. And then if you really, you know, realize it, you wouldn't go to jail if you call somebody, you know, a derogatory name. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but we're living in times where the Bible is being replaced by many different philosophies. And even me in my own life, and I love the Lord with all my heart, I can see the ramifications from having my daughter go to a secular school. There are some beliefs that I can't take out of her. I got to pray them out. And seeing that there's so much that we're going through, we're living in a time where kids 12 and 13 years old will pick up a firearm and end your life and then go to McDonald's and have a meal. So there are people that are being required to stay single longer because the demand for righteousness is less. And we're having to penetrate so much more than we had to penetrate years ago. So I understand why I'm single. I understand that, you know what? The time will come, because God will marry you at any age. He will bring your mate at any age. But when the time comes for me to mate with someone, that person will be an equal opposite and have a ministry that's penetrating the walls of darkness as my ministry hopefully will be doing. So I had to come to terms with that. I had to really just look back on what is happening now in the world and how much more God need us to be single-minded. More now than ever before. Not just single, but single-mindedness in what we have to do to really combat some of the things that the devil has infiltrated in our churches, in our schools, in our very lives. I adopted a daughter. Her philosophy is very different from my philosophy on so many different issues, and I have to love her through it. God told me, as clear as I'm talking to you, you cannot say it, you have to pray it. You telling her, she's been indoctrinated on a totally different level. And yet I thought I was doing a good thing, getting her in the best schools, you know, getting her around what I thought would be the best group of kids. They were all tainted with the lies of Satan, from her teachers to the students she sat side by side. And that influence indoctrinated her overall philosophies and beliefs. Whereas I can't say it, I have to pray it. I can't tell her what the Bible says without it sounding like fiction to her. I have to pray it and let God penetrate that darkness. And we're living in a time where it's going to take the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to penetrate things our kids are being told and fed on so many different levels. It's not just in their textbooks. It's not just coming out of the mouths of their teachers, but it's in their social groups. It's on all sorts of social media. It's in their music. It's in their culture. And it's with their friends. And it is so strong. Till again, God told me, at this point, you can't say what's right or wrong. You have to pray righteousness in her. And that's my job. So I'm saying that to say I'm learning, and I've learned that being single is a blessing, because I have more time to commit to fighting against, you know, the goals and the objectives of Satan. Hi, my name is CT, and I wrote the book, How to Resurrect a Dying Church. You know, my dad asked me before he passed to write a book that would help churches like he pastored, churches that struggled with low membership, inactive membership, and financially. And so for years, I studied small and large churches alike, and I finally got it. I think I have the keys to help pastors grow their struggling churches. So check out the book, How to Resurrect a Dying Church. You can purchase this book on any social network, but I want you to go to my website, 4567lunchbox.com, and check out the merchandise that we're selling there as well. All right, see you soon. Okay, my last and final point that I want to give others that are in their 50s or 60s or 70s or even 40s and they're single. This life will only be lived if you're daring enough to live it, to come outside your box of what you think life ought to be. If you get over your own baggage, you can help others get over theirs. I want to say that this ministry is so odd and strange that I'm starting it, because if you met me in person, I am really introverted. I'm an introverted person. I'm not an extrovert. I'm extremely quiet in social gatherings, and I'm not comfortable crossing over in meeting people. I was never the social butterfly, and I'm not now. So for me to be starting a ministry for singles and saying, come outside your comfort zone, let's go out, let's meet, let's greet, let's live, what I'm learning in this part of my life, which I really believe the latter is going to be greater than the first. This part of my life, I'm learning that the only way life is going to be lived if I'm daring enough to live it is on the t-shirt. You got to buy it. We have to be daring enough to come out of what we call comfortable, to live outside of our boxes or our paradoxes. We got to live outside of other people's expectations and even our own expectations. We've got to live outside of other people's hopes for us and start hoping for ourselves. A lot of people hope that we find mates, that we get married, but we're not doing anything about it. We're not going out and fellowshipping amongst our churches. Some churches have their single classes and their single groups, and that's it. They're not encouraging their singles to get to know other people and to mingle and to share ideals and to share thoughts and to share with other churches and other individuals. We're all on our own road down Damascus, not realizing that, you know what? God will meet us there. God is not afraid to meet us there. You know, and that God, even if he blinds you, he can open your sight. So I'm saying to singles who are 40, 50, 60, 70s and more, to be unafraid to talk to people that you've never talked to before, even if they're a different race, color, creed, that we are all one in the body of Christ, and to learn about each other experiences. That's why I do Date Disaster, because these are not people of one particular color or denomination. We're learning from people experiences. I'm also wanting singles to realize that their life does not have to end with the raising of their children. My daughter is off at college now. I still have a life. I still have needs. I still have a desire. I want to hang out with the opposite sex and not feel like I'm pressured to marry him. Or I want to hang out with my sister who's in the faith with me and not feel uncomfortable by developing intimate relationships with people. So in my 50s, I get it. It's time for us, you, me, to break out of the weirdness and to start to get to know people and to start loving and to come behind the four walls of your churches. I know, hey, this is not a church denomination ministry. This ministry is for everyone who ever thought, I want to meet and know somebody. Or for everyone who ever thought, I'm lonely and it's a Friday night and I'm sitting at home watching reruns. Okay, God is saying, I want you to get out. I want you to explore. I want you to get intimate relationships or to establish intimate relationships with people that may not be quite like you, but they're like me. And so this ministry is dedicated to that philosophy wholeheartedly. And as I minister to you, I'm ministering to yourself, because I'm ministering to myself, because really I'm not that social butterfly. I'm really the quiet kid in the corner. I'm not aggressive in my clothing and I'm not what you would call fashionable. I'm actually a fashion misfit, if I were to be honest. But God is teaching me to change all that and to be daring enough to live. And so my challenge to you and to everyone that's watching this or listening to this podcast, be daring enough to live.
The book, Why Must I Wait So Long, is a 7-day devotion that will encourage Christians to understand why sometimes God calls us to wait. It's an easy to read with biblical and practical examples. If you are waiting for God to move in any areas of your life, you've got to get this book. Why Must I Wait So Long, written by Creola Thomas. Where do I get this book? Go to 4567lunchbox.com. You can also buy the book there and check out her merchandise.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, just to let you know that weird people can come in both male and female. This date disaster comes from a guy. His name is Thomas. Like my last name, Thomas. His name is Thomas. And he writes that he went out with a young lady from the church who smiled all the time. And so when he asked her out, she was just so full of joy. It made him feel good. You know, he liked her. They belonged to the same church. He noticed that she comes in and she really prays the Lord. And he's like, you know, this is just, you know, a good situation. I ask her out on a date. She gives me a hug.
Wow.
So finally, the two of them get together. And on the date, this young lady starts saying to him, what do you want your kids to be named? How many kids you want? She said.
Come on now.
Let me make sure I'm getting the information. How many kids you want? She asked him. He said, well, I haven't really thought about it. I'm getting kind of older. Maybe one or two. And then she said, I saw that in a vision. 2 kids.
Really?
We're going to have 2 kids. They're going to be so pretty. And then he just kind of like laughed and she chuckled. And then when they sitting down and they having dinner, she ordered modestly and she just a sweet girl. And then when she's sitting down, she said, what kind of house you want? A ranch or a condo or a house in the woods? And he says to her, you know what? I think I'd rather, you know, do condo. I don't want to really be shoveling any snow at my age. And so she said, "That yep. I saw that in a vision. Me and you going to have kids. We're going to have a condo. I'm going to be in your ministry. You going to be in my ministry. God, look, God hooked this up. You so pretty with your brown eyes." And she kept telling him, "You so pretty with your brown eyes." I just can imagine that's how she sounds. And so he was like, oh, my God, this lady have given me kids, a house, and a condo, and I barely know her. And
girl,
then
please.
She asked him, you know, how long is it going to take you to get married because I'm a serious person? And he said, you know what? I don't know. You know, I've been through, you know, a horrible divorce and I'm not really, you know if I'm stable enough to get ready married right now. Two come together, things get taken care of. The Bible said, and she quoted the scripture to him. She said, the Bible said, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Your good thing sitting right in front of you. You better not lose her. You better not lose her. I'm just trying to imagine that's how that conversation went. So after that long 2.5-hour date, he drops her off and he decides, you know what? I just don't want to call her back again. And so she does not accept that. Well, she goes to the pastor on them. They sit down and have a discussion. And he just decided he didn't want to have anything to do with her and vice versa. Eventually, things were prayed out and prayed through. But he considered that like a warning and he was afraid to date for a while because he didn't want to have kids, a house, a condo, and a commitment before he actually got to know the person. So that, in fact, was a date disaster. And girl, let me just say it. You're a Looney Tune. You are. All right, guys. Thanks for your story.
Hi,
My name is Creola Thomas, and I am the host of 4567 Lunchbox Messages. I just want you to know that we are supported by viewers like yourself. So if you gain knowledge or get any information from what we're speaking and what we're doing, and you're able to support us, we would greatly appreciate that support. There are three ways you can support us. You can first and foremost support us through prayer. If you can make a commitment just to pray for us daily, that would be a blessing. Also, you could just send us a Zelle and just put in your Zelle notes support for 4567 Lunchbox Messages. And last but not least, and this is what I really love doing, guys. So if you go to 4567lunchbox.com, our website, you will see that we have a store, and you can purchase from that store. That also supports us. So thank you again for listening. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I hope that we're able to continue to bless you for years to come.